That's funny, dude. I don't know.
That's, oh, shit.
It's creepy.
What the fuck's going on, everybody?
It's just me and you, man.
I'm talking to our listeners. Our wonderful, respond. Beautiful listeners.
They can't respond right now.
But they can respond in the comments.
Please do.
Welcome back to Nuclear Playground. I'm Sprout.
I'm Jeremy.
What the fuck are we doing here?
I don't know, man. We're talking.
We're talking. We're just having a conversation. Out, fucking having a couple drinks, doing man shit.
Yeah. Having a drink that I don't have.
Just you shake mine.
Oh, wait. Here we go. That's now pass good that cognac.
That cognac.
That cognac. Yeah. I don't know, dude. Do you have any fun day at work? Did you have a good day at work?
Any fun day today?
Any fun day? Do you have any fun time at work? Dude, I'm a little tired, honestly, but I'm good. We got this.
Yeah, it's cool. I had super fun, happy time.
Yeah?
Yeah. Got to train somebody in.
When you train people in, do you train them, like, how to react when you get robbed or anything?
No, that's not my job.
What job? Whose job is that?
We have meetings.
Wait.
And the police come in and make us watch that run, hide, fight video that's on YouTube.
Are you
watching? With that fake Michael Chiklis that comes in and shoots up the office building and shit.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen this.
Oh, no, dude. Jasper tried to show it to me. He's like, I've totally seen that video at least like 3 times.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never even knew that they had a video.
Oh, I'll send it to you, dude. Because it's supposed to be like really informative, but mm-hmm. It's the funniest shit I've ever watched. Because... like,
is it like
dude just walks in like he's just taking minding his own business? I'm not saying that like shootings are funny, but like it's just the way that it played out. Like Michael Chiklis, not like the Michael Chiklis, but dude that looks like Michael Chiklis walks in, has a gym bag. Nobody sees the red flag. He just walks in the building, just fucking grabs the shit, just takes out the first person he sees. Like no discrimination whatsoever. Just wow, and then everybody's just like, what are we doing? He just like ha ha ha, wow wow. And then, but that's not the funny part. Like when they're like, it's when they're like, funny. Run, there's the first option, run.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, I gotta get out of here. And they dip the fuck out. And that's when they call the authorities, right? And then there's like, hide. And then they're like, the people who are like in there working and shit, they're like, they hear the gunshots and like, fuck that. And they fucking go out and hide. And then like, there's fight where there's like another group of people hiding and dude kicks the door open and everybody's like, ah, they get fire hydrants and shit. And
Well, that sounds like a interesting. I'm glad I don't work in places that get robbed. Like I'm usually like the kind of job I have, they're the kind of people that would usually do the robbing, like casing houses and shit like that. But no, I don't.
No, I work in an extremely soft Target.
Yeah, have you ever gotten robbed there?
Before I started there, maybe like a year, maybe 6 months to a year before I started there. Not my store, but store two.
Yeah.
I don't think anything terrible happened. Like, nobody knew that it was a toy gun, but that's what they got robbed with.
Well, he's lucky, man. It could have been a real gun.
One of the dudes there was like kind of shook by it.
Yeah.
Like, It got him pretty bad. But then after a while, like, you could start telling that he stopped like, being that shook by it and was, like, starting to use it, for, like, as an excuse. Like, oh, yeah, well, I don't feel safe closing tonight or I don't feel safe right now. I'm going to leave. I'll be back and he's be gone.
I don't feel safe.
Yeah.
How do you know? I'm just kidding. Because you've gotten robbed plenty of times.
Oh, dude, I've been robbed on the street.
Yeah, I know.
Like, fuck being in a store. Dude, I've been robbed on the street.
I've seen the aftermath plenty of times.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only been a couple of times, one time when, like they laid hands on me or my person, you know what I'm saying? But, like, I've definitely lost some things because of getting robbed, you know? And it's pretty fucked up, you know, because, like, I work, you know what I'm saying? I've never been about that street life. Like, I've always, I'm not going to say, like, I was, like, a perfect student, but, like, I graduated high school, I went to college, I fucking got a job. Like, that's, I like nice things and I want to earn them because it makes me feel good when I work to earn something, you know what I'm saying? Be it in art or, like, the job I have now.
Right.
And then motherfuckers just pop out the bushes with weapons and they don't want to work. They want to just take shit from motherfuckers who are already working for their shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's not like you're going shopping for the shit. You don't know what the fuck you're getting from a motherfucker. It's a lottery.
Yeah.
At gunpoint. And
well, I know if I rob you just by looking at you, I can get some buttons. Maybe some anime, maybe some...
Like, I look broke. I stay dressing like I'm broke. And motherfuckers are like, let's rob this broke-looking motherfucker.
I don't know, man. Like,
and usually it's for practice. Like, the most that anybody's gotten off of me is like $15 because I don't carry cash.
Yeah, but you got a nice, like, vest with buttons. You got a lot of flash.
This is my flair. This is my work vest.
Like, yeah, a lot of flair. I would rob you for your flair.
And it's
flair.
Not even, like, liquor store flair. It's
and look
like,
at that hat. Like, what size is this hat? Flair.
With this hat, a snapback.
Oh, so it'll fit me. What about them
but
shoes?
Before all this, like, it wasn't because, like, I was like, oh, well, it's the hat and,
right.
You know, the jacket. It was because I looked like I didn't live in the city that I grew up in.
Well, that and you have a backpack.
Like, I was the only alt black for, like, the longest time. Like, there was nobody else like me. Like, I was the only black kid skateboarding. You grew up with me in the same neighborhood, you know. Like, it was me and you skateboarding. Like, that was it. Like, and Ricky and Mike. Yeah. How many other colored folk were out there skating? Like,
I seen two other
nobody.
Kids. I seen two other kids a couple few times. But they were the same too. But they were the same too. And them motherfuckers were good. I remember that shit.
Yeah, we were like, okay.
Yeah, those dudes were good. Those were like X game good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Mike was dope as shit.
Yeah, Mike was dope as shit.
But the point is that they don't ever get a shit off of me. So, like, why even bother? You know what I'm saying? Like, man, I never looked like I had anything.
You have a backpack.
What's
in your bag?
Somebody
what
asked
you
me
got
that.
In your bag?
Somebody asked me that. And I was
did
it's
they
just
get
work
all
shit.
Ludicrous on you?
No, but I wish. I would have been like, just have it. You win. But, no, they were like, what you got up in that bag? What you got in that bag? I couldn't resist. But, no, I was like, nothing. This is work shit, man. And I pulled my bag, and they fucking left it alone. But, I lied, like my DS, like, you know, like when the DS first came out, like,
yeah.
That was in there, and like I think I had a PSP in there and some other shit, but
I would have took your backpack.
But I always had that shit with me, and I never went straight home from work. I was hanging out at Rob's house, so like when I was going home at like 11:30, like and here's the fucked up part, like when dude was like, "What you got in your bag?" and I pulled my bag away from him, this other dude, because I thought it was just like a couple few dudes out there, because like when I got off the bus,
yeah.
It, you know, it was like right there in front of the apartment buildings by my old house.
Right.
And so I just thought it was a bunch of dudes out there just like smoking and drinking 40s. Because like if I just got off work and I was hanging out in front of my apartment building, that's what I would be doing. And so I walked by him and I had my headphones on, but I could hear them behind me like, get that nigga, get him. And I was like, oh shit. And so I was about to take off running and they grabbed me by my hood, like by the back of my hood, and they pulled me back. And I don't even know if it was a legit gun because I didn't even bother to look. I didn't have the chance to turn around. But I felt cold metal in the back of my head. And they were like, this is a stick-up fool. And they started running my pockets and shit. And they took my house keys. They took my wallet. They took my cigarettes, my bowl, my MP3 player that could, funny enough, look like an iPod, but it wasn't. And what else did they take? I think that was about it. And that's when they tried to run my backpack. And I was like, it's just work shit. Get off me.
Hell
and then...
No.
A dude that I didn't even see. I thought it was like 6-7 dudes. A whole like 8th, 9th dude just fucking popped out the bushes, started stealing on me, just hit me dead. You remember because I showed up at Rob's the next day. I was all busted up and shit.
Yeah.
Hit me like 4 or 5 times in my face. And like I got 2 black eyes. My nose was like half broken. And by the time I realized I was getting hit, I'd already got fucked up. You know what I'm saying? but then I realized I was getting hit and I was like, oh, see, look, I was complying with y'all niggas until you started hitting me. And that's when I started fighting back. I had to, like, push the dude with the gun off of me. He stumbled back and shit. And that's when I started fucking swinging, man. I hit at least, like, 4 people at least once. And I took off running. I wasn't trying to be a little professional MMA fighter or nothing. I was, like, wildly, like, like fucking Chris M. Swung, just whoa, whoa, hammer swings, and I took off. And since I didn't have my house keys and I didn't want to have people leading back to my house and shit, I ended up running back towards my old crib, which was like a couple few blocks away where me and Peach had lived at and shit. Yeah. And I ran through those alleys for like a couple blocks, and I came back down the alley where I lived, and then I fucking came banging on the back door. I was like, Ma! Shit was fucked up. I was ready to move. I was like, I'm moving to Colorado like tonight. And that was before we was legal out there. Like, I was ready to go.
That's so funny. Maybe you should have.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I really should have. I should have. I love it here, but I feel like a change of scenery would have done me some good. It would have prevented a whole lot of drama.
Yeah, now you see a lot of shit going on here. Mm-hmm. I know I've been through a lot of shit here. It's crazy. I don't even want to think about like all the shit that went on. But, you know, some of it's a little sketchy.
Do you remember that time we were at fucking Jordan Park? It was like me, you, and the crew back in high school. And them fucking Crips rolled up on us. And one of the dudes was drunk, talking about, let's fuck these niggas up. Let's fuck these niggas up. And I was the first motherfucker he hit. I was super mad because I seen it coming.
Yeah, no.
And I was ready to fight his ass. He hit me one good time. And that's when I realized he hit like a bitch. And I was like, oh, it's on. And I look over to the left. And this dude on the bike pulls his shirt up and he's brandishing his gun and shit. I'm like, oh, I'm not getting shot today. And he hit a couple other cats. And then they all took off, talk about fucking Crip Cuz, whoop, whoop, or whatever. And they fucking kept rolling fucking north. And yeah, shit was fucked up. Ethan got fucked up. And that's when
I didn't get fucked up at all. I walked up.
I stopped hanging out with his ass after that.
The first dude was there was Mooch that was in that group, and I walked up.
To this day, I don't remember him being there. I did not even notice him, bro.
Well, that's because you were busy getting beat up while I was shaking hands with him.
Beat up? He hit me like one time.
Hey, y'all I was about to fight him, and I just let it go after that.
Because I'm not getting shot.
All I knew was I knew that cat, and I was shaking hands with dude, and behind me, all you guys were getting punched in the face and shit. And I didn't know any of that shit went on until I'm like, all right, man.
Did Mooch even know I was there?
I don't even know. I don't know.
That's what really fucks me up. Like, this nigga didn't even know I was there. A whole lot of could have been prevented if he would just be like, hey, those are my people.
Oh, shit. I don't know, man. I stopped right there with Mooch and we shook hands and we were talking and shit. And then next thing you know, he's like, all right, man. I'm like, all right, cool. And then I'm turned around. And Ethan's rubbing his face and everybody's all pissed off.
That's how
off.
Quick it happened, bro. Like, he hit me. I was about to swing. I seen dude and I was like, nope. And then so I turned around. He hit Ethan. He hit a couple other cats. And then he was like, let's go. And he started throwing up gang signs and shit. And they fucking rolled north from where we was at. And I was like, the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, I saw Mooch. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, I was like, I didn't even know what the fuck just happened, dude. I didn't know anybody got hit, and I still didn't fucking believe it at first. Not until you were all extra pissed off and Ethan sitting there fucking screaming shit. Yeah,
it was it fucked me up. I was like, this is nuts.
Yeah, it's nuts because it was a totally different experience.
But that was also the last day I hung out with Ethan because that's when when they were like a block or maybe a half a block away from us, and he turned around and he was like, you fucking niggers. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no,
like we hung out with him for like a year and a half straight. Like, and he starts dropping N bombs, and I kind of seen it coming because his dad is like openly like a Klansman. Like, he had Klan stickers all over the house and shit.
Yeah, no, that shit was weird.
And
dude,
he tried to bluff like he wasn't, even though like
he said, oh, we just got this at a yard sale. Yeah. I remember that shit. He had stickers of the Klans on the inside of his dresser.
What the fuck is that? Oh, it's my dad, man. It's my dad's. He's fucking, you know, just that's just him. And I was like, that's fucked up, dude. And he's like, yeah, I know, I'm sorry. And then I asked his dad about it. Yeah, it was a yard sale, whatever. But no, yeah, dude, like, you never liked none of us.
No.
Ever. And that's why he stole my hentai.
Yeah, he was watching.
I tried to. I got that shit back.
That had me dying, though.
His old Betamax watching ass.
Mm.
No, but what about you, man? What kind of fucked up shit you seen and been into, man?
Oh, I man.
It's one of the subjects of scary shit.
Well, I can go on. When I was a little kid, my dad and me were living at my grandpa's house on 12th Avenue by Powderhorn Park. And he was like five. And we had this neighbor that my dad used to drink with. And she was like, she'd come down to my grandpa's house and drink and party out and chill and shit. And she was good looking from what I remember. But she had this boyfriend, dude, that she would always argue with. And they got into this big, huge fight in the hallway. And my dad was drinking. And he went out in the hallway. And I remember playing outside. And it was dark out already.
Right.
And you could see, because the apartment buildings had big, giant glass windows that you could see the stairs. You know, you could see the third floor going down to the second floor and so on and so forth. And I look up and I see my dad grab the dude and throw him down the fucking stairs, right? And I'm like, no shit. And then he hits his head on the radiator down there and he gets his head busted open a little bit.
Right.
And, I mean, that's the gist of it. He gets up and him and his girlfriend take off and, you know, we don't see him. And like a few days go by and me and my dad are coming back from work, from his job. We didn't have a babysitter.
Right.
So I went with him to work that day. And we were in this black van where he had tools and shit in it, you know. And we pull up in front of the apartment building on the opposite side. He looks out and he sees people like posted up on the side of the apartment buildings. And he gets out real quick. And I get out and I come around the van and he opens up the back of the van and he grabs his pipe. And it's like, you know, to pump up a car jack.
Yeah.
Just like a little pipe, right? And there's like four or five of these dudes come running out of the fucking, out of the side of the apartment building. And he tells me to go run down to my grandpa's. And he takes off running. Now, the way this is set up, there's three apartment buildings next to each other. And then there's Powderhorn Park. My grandpa lived on the furthest apartment building away from the park. And my dad took off running towards the last apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
So, like an idiot, instead of going to my grandfather's, you know, who lived in the first apartment building, in the first floor, in the basement even, you know, I just got to run up to the window. I see my dad run in the apartment building and I see these guys chase him. And then I'm running and I run behind the building and then I run back around the front of the building. And in that time, they had went down through the front and into the back door. So he got trapped down in the bottom hallway.
Right.
So I run around the building and I come back up to the front door. And I come in the front door and I go to the basement and I look down the hallway and my dad's laying in the middle of the hallway with his head caved in. Like, I'm not even kidding you. It looked like it was like smashed inwards, you know, and there's this huge pool of blood that's as big as him. And he's like, he's 6'4", you know, big 250-pound or 280-pound at the time guy. And this huge pool of blood with his head caved in. And as soon as I see that, I am like freaking out, like, oh shit, my dad's dead. And I turn around and I run back out the front door and these guys start chasing me and I'm running towards Powderhorn Park. I should have fucking, I thought about running towards my grandfather's, but they're all scattered along the front in front of these apartment buildings.
Right.
Outside, like running away, except for the dude who my dad threw down the stairs and he was the guy chasing me. And, he got within like 15, 20 feet of me and one of his homeboys grabbed him by the arm and told him, let's go. We had to go. And he looked at me and he took off running and then he left. And then I ran to my grandfather's. And as soon as I ran inside, my grandfather grabbed me up and whooped the fuck out of me. Like instantly. Damn. Yeah. Instantly. 'Cause he knew what was going on. And next thing you know, the cops and ambulance and shit show up and fucking Care 11 was there and my dad gets pulled out on a stretcher and shit and he goes to the hospital and he died for like a few minutes there. No shit. Like straight died. And then he fucking was in the hospital for like months and he's been like a different person ever since. He's been like extra, you know, short with right. everything. I mean, he's super aggressive about certain things, you know. He's got no patience.
Oh, I know.
Boy, this shit's fucking weird now. He's just like, it's different. But yeah, that happened when I was really little. And that happened over the South Side. But there's like a lot of weird shit like that that's happened, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I almost got fucking murdered by some fucking guy. Who knows? I might have gotten murdered. He might have just whooped my ass. Who knows? But
I never almost gotten murdered, but
I'm vengeful, dude. That's my thing. Like, to this day, hey, even though I know that guy's an old man, I would wheel his ass out into traffic. I'm not even kidding you, man. I feel that way. Like, I have the hardest time letting that go. And it's been since
we were talking about that a few times.
Yeah, I'm 35 now, you know. Mm-hmm. That was 30 years ago. And I'm still like, I don't know, man. That's crazy shit. But, you know, a lot of that, I've had to deal with that with a lot of alcoholism in my family growing yeah. up. You know, it's like, that's why I don't really drink all that much. I rarely drink. It's probably a good thing.
I remember one time, you know this because you were there after the whole shit happened. I can't even fucking tell the story.
Are you talking about the van?
Dude, it's not a van, but the shit was so fucked up.
Yeah.
So fucked up not because of what fucking happened, but because I have terrible fucking friends. Because shit was I was scared for my fucking everything. My life, my butt, like all that shit. Like, and I come and report to you motherfuckers and y'all are like, I'm not even gonna fucking spoil it. So like first of all, it was cold as shit. It was like 30 below outside. It was like December, January. Fucking like way back when we were in high school. And
it's like
97.
It was
97. Yeah. And we're dating the shit out of ourselves in this episode. But waiting at the bus stop, maybe like 2.5 miles south of where like Jeremy and everybody else are at, and everybody knows I'm on my way up to them, and this dude pulls up because he sees me waiting for the bus, and he's like, "Hey, it's cold out. You want to ride?" And I was like, "Hell yeah!" I'm like, "No, it had to be 96. I was like 16. It was just before that New Year's the New Year's you busted your shit on the table.
Yeah,
it was just before that. I remember now. So anyways, I'm like, hell yeah, I jump in dude's car, and we get like a block away from where I'm standing, and he's like, you smoke weed? And I was like, hell yeah. And we were smoking a joint, we're just talking, chilling, and we get like real close to where I live. Like, I didn't tell him like my exact address, I just gave him like a vague neighborhood, and we're getting like real close to where I live. We're like, we're going north past like the block east of my house, and he's like, hey, so let me ask you a question. And I'm like, what? And he's like, oh, first of all, when I got in his car, we introduced each other. You know, like, I'm Sprout. And he's like, hey, I'm D, whatever, right? That name is really important. But anyways, he's like, let me ask you a question. I'm like, what's up? He's like, can I take some pictures of you? And I'm like, what the fuck do you mean? And he's like, you know, just like naked pictures. Like, I don't want to touch you or nothing. I just want to take some pictures. And I was like, stop the car. I'm getting out. And he stops the car. And as soon as I got out, I didn't even shut the door. I just grabbed my shit and I ran out the car. And I fucking ran like 6 blocks north. And then I ran like 4 blocks east. And then I ran like another block north. And then I ran like 2 blocks west. And then I ran like 4 blocks south to my house. And and I drop my shit off and I come running to where you're at over at Johnny's house, and I tell everybody about what happened, and not a single, are you okay? Not a single, oh man, that's fucked up. Literally everybody in unison was like, ah, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, no.
And I still hang out with your ass.
You know what, though? That was a funny-ass story.
And ow!
Let me tell you why. Because the look of fear on your face.
That man could have violated my booty. Yes. You don't even know.
And this is why we don't jump in vehicles with strange men.
Mm-hmm. Spread that to your children.
That's, you know.
And this is why we had PSAs and shit when we were growing up.
Well, look it. I mean, you jumped in a vehicle with a strange guy and something strange happened.
But here's the thing. Like, I grew up in a neighborhood where, like, everybody looked out for each other. You know what I'm saying? And if you acted out of line, you got your ass whooped by your aunts, your uncles, your neighbors, everybody. And then your parents showed up, and then they whooped your ass.
Yeah, but the 90s is when motherfuckers was abducting kids and raping people, like, left and right.
Dude, that shit happened discount in 89. Discount 70. The first major abduction I remember was Jacob Wetterling, and that was 89. And that wasn't even in our city. That was, like, way the fuck.
No, that you remember. But what I'm saying is, yeah, like, here, like, it's happened a bunch of times, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Cunanan started here. Remember Andrew mm-hmm. Cunanan? But, yeah, it's just like I said, it was funny to me at that time. You survived, right? Yeah? You got a cool story to tell. You almost got raped.
How's that a cool story?
My name's D.
And that's why the name's important, because this motherfucker brings it up every fucking so often. Like, hey, how's D doing? Like, that was for like the whole year. The whole year after everybody found out about that shit. What's up with D, though? How's he doing? You talk to D?
You talk to D lately?
You get another ride from D? Assholes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it was an asshole thing though, in retrospect. But still, how's D? No.
Oh, it's great. We had some chamomile together.
Yeah, me and him and John Woods was there. I remember.
Oh, John Wood.
Yeah, that was a great.
Oh, that was another fucked up situation we found ourselves in.
Yeah, that was a good one, though.
You can tell that story because, fuck that. I don't even want to talk about that. That was some freaky shit. We saw a four-horned goat skull just sitting on a fucking school bus that he had chilling in the. Okay, I will talk about this dude had a ranch that looked like the set of Turtles too, where like the Foot Clan lived in the junkyard and shit. He had like tire forts and all that shit. Like,
yeah, or the set for Nothing But Trouble with Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah,
with the babies.
Yeah,
yeah, the garbage babies.
Or that one part in the Warriors. Wasn't there a part where they're in the junkyard or some shit?
I think so. I can't remember. Or oh here, 13 Ghosts.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Okay, so. But how do we start there? Like, we went to Princeton, and we were coming from Minneapolis.
Our super-duper senior friend was graduating high school at the tender age of 21.
Yeah, at the tender age. Yeah.
And we decided to go fucking party with him. He said he was having a fucking birthday/graduation party, and we were all about that action. So we fucking went out there, and we played Magic, and we smoked a bunch, and we drank, and we ran out of weed the next day, and
was it the next day or was it the first day?
No, it was the very next day.
Okay.
The first day he gave us a tour of his property, which was huge, and we got covered in ticks and none of us slept.
Oh, that's right. No, I slept.
I didn't.
Yeah, you guys were bugging.
I was bugging hard as fuck.
Yeah, because then the next morning we got up and we had to search for weed right away. Mm-hmm. And then that's when his friend from Princeton, his little teenage kid, fucking met us over there at his house. And we were
that's
all talking.
That's when like the actual party was supposed to happen.
Yeah. And then they took us. He took us on his bike. And we went with him. God, dude, it was like, it seemed like a mile away, maybe even 2 miles away. It took us a little bit to get there.
Yeah.
But it was a long.
It had to have been like 3 miles.
Yeah,
it was a while.
It was off the main highway, though. We went down the main highway in the middle of the woods, you know, in Princeton.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut off onto this dirt road that went for like a mile long. And then we finally reached this place that was, it was like a wall of tires. And once we got through that, it was this fucking makeshift farm with buses and this house that was made of tires that inmates lived in. And it had no plumbing, by the way. It was just a big pit in the ground with tires.
And he really means inmates.
Yeah.
And like, we'll get to that. Like, it's.
So we get inside and there's buses lined up, like broke down buses, and there's cars crushed, like laying all over, and there's fences that are made of rocks with fencing wrapped around it.
The cantina wire and shit.
Yeah, with rocks stuffed in them.
Yeah.
And then as we're getting in there, this guy approaches us, and the kid that's with us introduces him. Or he actually walks up to him, my buddy, like, "Hey, how's it going?" He said, "Hey, what's up, John? How's it doing?" And we see this guy, and he's like about, I want to say about 6 foot.
I'd say like 5'11", 5, yeah, 6 foot.
Yeah, about 6 foot and about 300 pounds, like white, a white guy, but he was red.
Entirely.
And he had hairy shoulders, and he had hairy body.
And he wore one-piece overalls.
One-piece overalls that had the sides that were that buttoned up, mm-hmm. but they were completely unbuttoned. And he had no underwear on or anything. And
yeah, stereotypical like farmer straw hat.
Yeah, it was weird with that. And then
There was no shirt underneath the overalls.
No shirt, so he had, no underwear.
Wicked like fucking tan line.
Yeah, you could see down.
You could tell that he didn't fucking bathe because
it was gross.
Like,
you could see, buildup.
Dirty as fuck.
You could see that buildup, that scum buildup. Mm-hmm. You know what? You ever fucking go camping for a few days and you don't get to wash, and when you come home, you scratch yourself and like you get this black. Crap.
Yeah, or like the shit between your toes.
Yes.
Like when you get like a bunch of dirt in your fucking sock and
he had
shit.
Toe jam in his neck. And like under his tits. Because he had tits, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't very nice.
They were grimy.
Okay. So anyways, we got there and we needed a ride into town because town was way too far. And this kid brought us there because he thought maybe the inmates might have something or we could at least get a ride into town. Nobody had shit, and the only ride into town was from this John Wood guy.
And we had to work for that ride.
Yeah, he didn't.
On this makeshift ranch of his. And that's when he explained to us that his inmates were actually people who were working for him as indentured servants.
Yeah.
So basically slaves.
Yeah, because they were on the land from the law. So they weren't really just convicts. They were fugitives. So he had a bunch of fugitives living on his farm in Princeton, way the fuck out in the middle of nowhere on private property, doing weird farm shit. They had a goat's head.
On top of this old busted-up school bus.
Yeah, and this horn was growing into its own, underneath its own skull.
Yep. It's gross. Oh, and we were fucking moving shit around, and he points at his horse, and he's like, "Hey. That horse has got a boner. Look at it." And you're like, "Oh, what the fuck?" Like,
yeah, and all those fucking dudes were laughing and giggling and shit. And he had this fucking Mexican dude out there who didn't speak any English out there fucking catching goats with rope. Remember that, dude?
He was straight lasso cowboy. Pro. Just
yeah. And then he wanted us to bring black women or anybody.
He kept telling me that I should bring back, black women or, thick. No, specifically thick. Black women,
dark. The darker, the better. That's what he said. He did say that specifically.
Yep, and he also says something about keeping. What was it? He wanted to keep a bunch of African women locked up in his house so he can have a bunch of wives or some shit.
Yeah,
that.
He said he wanted to have a bunch of mixed kids that can withstand the heat,
so that he can have them working and shit.
Yep, I'm like, Jesus Christ, man.
Dude was fucking ridiculous. I thought I was gonna die there.
Yeah, he had a gun, and then he said if we were hoodlums that he would shoot us on the spot.
Number one rule on his dry erase board inside of his trailer: no hoodlums. But it was spelled HUDLUMS.
Yep.
No hoodlums.
No hoodlums.
You hoodlum? The fuck out of my fucking ranch.
Yeah, I might be. So yeah, so after doing a little bit of work, what we did was we carried rocks for him and tires. Basically,
yeah,
and stacked them up.
We built a tire fort.
Yeah, and then after that, he gave us a ride. When we got into the truck with this dude, we had to sit next to this guy's tits. His tits were right next to us.
His tits took up the whole cab.
And it was me, Sprout, this kid, and some other dude from there.
Just a random.
Yeah, some fucking guy. And we get a ride back into Princeton, and we get out at a gas station. Which was, I was grateful we survived that, you know?
Hell yeah.
And then we get hooked up with these sketchy ass dudes looking for 3-2 beer at the gas station. And then we're waiting around for that, waiting to go meet up with somebody else. Then we meet some fucking other kids who take off with our money. and we wait for like a half hour or maybe even longer, like an hour, would you say? So for about an hour.
Dude, we didn't get back for a good minute. We were gone for a long
Oh, yeah. Well, time. We left in the morning and we got back.
I was like mid-afternoon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it was about afternoon because we did some shit on the trailer and shit. But we finally hook up with these kids and they give us this short-ass bag.
The tiniest bag.
Yeah, and we gave
them enough. And we threw a fit.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? We gave them enough for a half and we end up with like a quarter or an eighth even. And then we were like, fuck it. And we went to this field with these assholes and they drank 3-2 beer and we smoked like a bowl or two with out of a can. And then we were like, all right, cool. We got to go. We got to go. And we
got straight the fuck out of there.
Yeah, we got a ride.
Yep. We got picked up.
We got picked up and we got a ride and we got let out about a mile away down the road in the middle of the night, in the middle of Princeton, in the middle of the countryside. And we had to walk back. And then when we got back, Matt and everybody there was pissed off at us.
Because we took forever. And then they thought we smoked all the weed.
Yeah. Little did they know we got jacked basically by country bumpkins, fucking Princeton. And then that was the last time I hung out with Mike at Princeton. Like, I haven't hung out with him since he's been back. Or since. Until he came back to Minneapolis. Yeah. I ain't fucked with him since then.
I ain't going into no kind of deep woods with that motherfucker.
No. Shit was scary, man. I honestly don't know, like, of another time that I did hang out with him.
It's been a minute.
It's been a while.
I lived with him for a while. That was interesting.
Yeah.
A couple of times, but...
I mean, I never lived with him, but I don't think I could. I mean, we've done a lot of shit with John. Like, we went exploring that fucking cave, you know, and looked for a quote-unquote demon. There was no demon, but there was some weird shit going on in that cave. But I worry about caves, dude. I've been watching dude, I went down this rabbit hole on these fucking cave systems ever since watching this horror story shit. Mm-hmm. And I saw this dude, or I read this, or I watched a video about this dude who went down this cave called the Nutty Putty. And he went past this place called John's Push or something. Joshua's Push or some bullshit. And he went down to this unexplored part of the cave. And these tunnels, dude, are like as big as your body. You know, it was just wide enough for you to worm your way in them. And he wiggled his way up. And then he ended up going downwards in like an 80 or 90 degree angle and got stuck. And they tried for like 24 or 27 hours to get the dude out. They even got harnesses and everything to pull him out. But he was hanging upside down for so long that his legs had gotten like no blood in them anymore. Yeah. And like just them touching anything like sent a lot of pain through his legs. Like he started freaking out and screaming. And the only way to get him out was to break his legs anyways because he was already hitting the point.
Mm-hmm.
So at 27 hours, they're sitting there trying to figure out what to do, and he slid back into that point because they did pull him out a little bit, but he slid back down. And then, like, at 27 hours, he was, like, unresponsive, and they sent doctors, and they found out that he had died, dude. And, I mean, being upside down for, like, 27 hours or more, obviously, you can die from it. His lungs filled up with blood, his head, like, everything. The human body is not meant to pump your blood. It works with gravity, so
right.
We walk upright, not upside down, you know. So when you're upside down, the heart's got to pump way more to get the blood out of the brain and out of the lungs, and he basically drowned in his own blood and fucking died. The rest of his body shut down. So what did they do? They left him, and then they made their way out of the cave and they sealed it with concrete. So that's a tomb.
It's his cave now.
Yeah. So ever since then, I've been looking at cave videos of watching these people fucking spelunking in these, like, super tight-ass areas. And I'm like, what makes people do that fucking crazy shit?
I just don't think that you should go that deep into the earth.
I honestly, who's the first fucking guy to see a little tiny hole and, like, I'm going to go through it? And he just keeps going. He's wiggling his way through. He can't turn around, obviously, because it's way too fucking tight to turn around. He's got to have his arms outstretched over his head like he's fucking praying or something, you know, bowing down. And you're crawling, not knowing what it, and you get to a dead end, you're basically stuck in this fucking tube until you're dead. And you don't know what that the end is. Like, who the fuck discovered that?
You're like the hard piece of toothpaste at the fucking beginning of the tube now.
You're the suicidal piece of toothpaste getting through this long ass thing. Because, like, you gotta be crazy as fuck, dude. You have to have some major fucking balls.
No, I couldn't do it, man. I'm too afraid of that shit. You know,
you're claustrophobic?
Not claustrophobic, but I just don't want to ever get trapped in a cave.
Yeah.
Like, ever. Would or you, like an elevator. That would be the worst.
I've gotten stuck, like, in an elevator.
Fuck that, dude.
At work, when I worked for PPL, that motherfucker, okay. Here's the thing. There's a couple of Somalian women in there, and they went up before me, and the elevator jammed. I don't know what was going on with it. It had something to do with the hydraulic pump, because these were hydraulic elevators. Yeah. They weren't the belt ones. So it went up, and it dropped a half a floor, and it got stuck. And I go up, and there I hear them banging and screaming, and I open the door a little bit, and I could see them, and I'm like, hold on, I'm like, I don't know if you guys should crawl through. It's like, I can open the doors, but if I open the doors, you know, like, who knows if the piston gives out like halfway through, and right. Next thing you know, we got a woman chopped in half. And I'm like, oh, it's my fucking fault. So I'm like, look, I opened the door enough for them to see. And like, look, you can't get out, but you need to stay put because you could fucking die. Mm-hmm. Right? So we wait, and we waited for like 5 hours. No shit. We waited for 5 hours for a technician to show up. And he showed up. And good thing I show up at fucking, was it like 7 a.m. And it was like late afternoon. He shows up, he does this emergency key thing, and he slowly lowers it down to the first level, and the ladies get out, and he's like, okay, and he resets it, and he's like, everything should be good. And then I get in the motherfucker, right? And as soon as I get in, he left, right? Just then, he right. left. I get in, and I go up a floor, I go up a second floor, I go up to the third floor. And I'm like, cool. I go to open the door, and the bitch drops a half a floor
fuck
on me.
Fuck that, dude.
And I'm like, oh, what the fuck? And my phone's at 15%, dude, and I'm in a metal box. And I'm like, fuck, I got my tool belt on me, and I got a pry bar. And I hit the call button, and I'm like, fuck. And I'm like, it goes straight to the office.
Yeah.
And nobody's at the office right now. And I'm like, fuck, I make the phone call. No signal. So I have to pry the door open. And I pry the door open, and like, fuck, man. Like, I got to sneak my head out or put my arm out of the door to get signal. And I'm like, do I crawl out? Do I risk getting chopped in half?
Or losing a limb.
So I do. I quickly throw my body up first. And at first, I was going to slide my phone through the doorway and then like jump in, but like I'm like, what if I throw the phone and the door closes or like it drops another level, and then I don't have my fucking phone and I'm stuck in this bitch, and then I have to wait for, you know, somebody who's living there to help me out. So I shove it in my back pocket, I throw my tools out, and I open it up enough, and I climb up, and it's already like way down. I got like 3 feet. Plus, you know, I get it open about 2 feet wide.
Right.
And I take a running jump, and I fucking catch myself up. I pull myself through. And when I do, I heard a creaking. And I thought I heard a hissing. And I'm watching the elevator slowly go down. And I'm like, oh, I'm so fucking glad I jumped through instead of, like, trying to fucking eke my way. Because I turned around, and I'm watching it. And when I had 3 feet, I had 2 feet. And then, like, less than 5 seconds later, there's like a foot, and then slowly goes down. And I'm like, oh shit.
Dude.
I'm like, yeah, I chose to crawl out at the right time, or I probably shouldn't have crawled out at all. But I did. I got out. I made the phone call. I told the guy what happened, and we closed the elevator down. And it was on a Friday, so I'm glad he didn't come back.
He would have been back. You would have been in there till Monday.
He didn't come back. He said, oh, you're lucky because, you know, I was like, I'm on my way out to Savage because he had another elevator out there to go work on. So I closed the elevator. I locked the elevators, and I put them out of order. But, you know, That shit's scary, dude.
Hell yeah.
I was in there for about, I want to say like 15, 20 minutes trying to get out. And before I decided to pry the door open, I'm trying to make calls, trying to do everything else. But that 15 minutes felt like jail. Have you ever been in jail?
I've been in jail.
You know the holding cell, right? Where you get in there, that little fucking steel box they have.
That shit takes forever.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember one time I was in the holding cell. I got busted for graffiti, and there's this dude just running around, just hitting motherfuckers with the jail flip flop. Like he took one off his foot, and he would run up on somebody, just like, whap, and he would sit back down and pretend like he didn't do shit, like just smacking the fuck out of motherfuckers. And then, like, he didn't bother me because like I was minding my own business. But he, everybody else, I don't know why, but he didn't like the motherfuckers. And so, like, he's run up, like, this one dude, this is old, this is like, I mean, his race ain't important, but, like, he's this old white dude just laying on the bench, just trying to sleep and shit. And
okay.
This motherfucker took his sandal off, and it was like, bap, and he hit him in the face. I was like, what the fuck? And he went and sat down and tried to chill, cross his legs and shit. Like, I didn't do nothing. And the dude woke up. He was like, what the fuck, man? And then he immediately fingered the dude that hit him with the sandal. Like, why would you do that? And he was like, nigga, that ain't me. Why would you think that's me? I'm a gangster. I don't play no games. And he was like, whatever, man. And he laid back down and dude got back up. It was like, pap! And I was like, what the fuck?
Hell no. That's some ridiculous. That guy was minding his own business, by the way.
Yeah. He was chilling, just trying to sleep.
Oh, man. So, I know this. I don't want to go to jail. And I don't want to explore any tight caves. I wouldn't mind exploring, like, a big cave, you know.
But what if you get stuck in the big cave?
Well, big cave's okay. I don't mind.
Elon Musk ain't going to send you no submarine.
I don't care. I don't. Why would I need a submarine? But, like, the Fruin Mill. Like, right now, we could go up to that bitch. What time is it? It's 2:30. It's 12:38 in the morning.
The bill is awesome, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I explored it. I put that shit on the internet, even.
Yeah.
It's crazy. People died in that place, by the way. A dude fell from in that silo. That thing is like 300-400 feet.
There's another silo where people had died in. Over south, I think they either tore it down or they're
renovated. Nope, it's the bungee.
Until apartments now.
Yeah, it's right next to the building I was just talking about with the elevator. Right in southeast Minneapolis, it's the Bungie building, and they have the old silos. I've been in there because it's owned by PPL.
Oh, nice.
Yep. So yeah, I've been in there. I've explored that with people, though. I didn't get to do all that cool shit that I normally do. It's been a while since I explored anything.
I wouldn't mind exploring the catacombs underneath downtown Minneapolis.
That's dope. I'm sure. My uncle told me about it. I haven't explored places with my uncle before, like because he used to be, like, a stripper, you know? Not, like, stripping in the club, but he would strip, like, houses and shit, like, of copper pipe.
And sometimes in the club.
Yep, yeah. But when I was younger, he took me to this place. He took me over South Minneapolis. It would be me, him, and Jason, and I was little. So I was, like, 11 and super skinny and small. And my uncles would, like, push me through the basement windows just to get into some of these places that were boarded up or locked up.
Right.
And they're always abandoned, right? So what we would do is he would push me through the windows, and I would get in, let him in from the inside, and then he would cut all the pipes out, him and my other uncle, take all the copper out, strip the wires, strip all the copper piping, and bounce out, go sell it, go buy some booze, and, you know, give me like $5 or $10 so I can go buy candy and shit like that.
Right.
So this one time, it was like, I want to say like 1 o'clock at night, and I was staying the night at my grandma's house, and my uncles lived there, you know, and they were drinking, and they decided to go to the bootlegger, but they had no money. So what they did was they knew they could take some of this copper and exchange it with this bootlegger, because this dude was just a native dude that they knew who happened to have enough booze on Sundays because he would buy a lot of booze and drink.
Right.
So he took me with, and we went to a couple of these abandoned houses, and one of them we went in already had everything stripped out. And then the second one we went into, we had to get in through the basement. Now, I had a little flashlight, and we pop open this basement window, and it's the kind that swings out. It's not like the old kind that slide, you know. It swings open, so it swings inward, and I'm crawling in through this basement window, and I get down in the basement, and I flash my light around, and it's like just a square, like a big square.
Right.
And there's a, in the middle of the basement, there's steps going upwards that go up to the back door. So I make my way up towards the steps, and I'm looking around with my light real quick, just flashing, and I see a guy sitting in the corner, and like he didn't pay no mind to me, and I didn't bother him. I said, "Oh shit, I'm sorry." And as I said that, I quick turned around and ran up the stairs, right? And I get up to the door, and I open the door, and I quick turn and shut the fucking door, and I turn around, and there's the back door, and the back door is not boarded up, it's just locked. So I quickly unlock it, and I swing it open, and my uncles are already at the back door waiting for me. And they come in, and I'm like, "There's somebody in the basement." And my uncle's like, "Oh, it's probably a squatter. I bet you dude's like, he's probably got some rocket shit." So him and Jason look at each other, and they're planning on robbing this motherfucker.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So instantly, they bolt down the stairs, and they get down there, and the basement window is pretty high up, you know. You'd have to take a running jump, and this guy looked old. He looked like fucking 60 or something in the basement just chilling. And my uncles take off downstairs, and I'm waiting upstairs, and they get down there, and they're like, "There ain't nobody down here." And I'm like, "Yes, there is. He's still fucking in the corner." So I go downstairs, and I'm flashing my light around, dude, and there's nothing. Nobody else is down there. And I'm like, he had to have come. Like, I don't know how he would have had time to run and open the window up, because it opens inward. So he would have to open the window up and pull himself up and out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's fucking way up there. It's like at the top of the fucking ceiling.
The man levitated.
Yeah. So they got down there, and there's nobody down there. They said there's nobody down there. And after that night, I actually refused to go. I refused to go back out with them. I never went back out with them again. But they did strip the house.
Mission accomplished. So I did a Google search on what's the craziest thing that's ever happened to you or either that you've seen in person.
Yeah.
And I came across this fucking crazy story. It says, "I was the only one to see a car accident on a dark road. When I came up to the truck, I saw a man with half of his face hanging off. He was trying to pull it off because he didn't know what it was. I ended up holding his face on until the ambulance arrived."
You know?
And then right underneath it, it says, "Okay, guy, you win."
That is fucking crazy. My dad saw some shit like that.
Really?
Oh, he came home one night, and this was like a long fucking time ago. It was in Anoka, so I was in like, I think I want to say sixth grade. And he had came home, and he had a little beer on his breath. You know, he maybe had a couple of drinks. But he was working out down in Richfield, and after work he had a couple of drinks, and he said he was coming home, and he saw this truck, like flying past him. Right, and it was a pickup.
Right.
So he saw it flying past him, and he was coming up to this intersection, and this woman had come on the on ramp or the off ramp and got right, you know, going right there. And dude fishtailed because he slowed down and slammed on his brakes, and then he clipped the car. And next thing you know, my dad said he saw a big, huge cloud of smoke and the truck and the van flipping and rolling down the road. And he pulls up next to him, and he gets out, and he runs up to the truck, and he opens the door, or he doesn't open the door because it's not open. He says he opens what's part of the door right. Left, and he pries it open, and he looks in there, and the guy's head's gone. And he said it looks like a wet shirt hanging off of his neck.
What the fuck?
But it was like a furry wet shirt hanging off of his neck, and there was brains and shit splattered all over the ceiling and all over the inside. And my dad said he didn't know what to think. It freaked him out instantly, and he ran to the other car, and there was a woman and her kid, and they were trapped. And my dad opened up the van door and got her kids out and got her out. And he freaked out because he was drinking, you know. He had beer on his breath. He said, "They're going to fucking come after me." So he jumps in the car, and she wanted to know like who he was. My dad didn't say nothing. He just left.
Damn.
And the cops show up. Everything shows up and ends up on the news. And they wanted to know who it was that helped the lady and you know whatever. And that was my dad.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, my head's in a fucked up space right now. I think we should call it a night.
Yeah, why not?
Well, shit, man. This is a good episode. Good.
It got really dark, really quick. It got really dark,
but you know, it's we have some good stories.
Yeah, there's more. There's always plenty more.
I mean, I can go on forever, but it's getting late. We chose a really late hour to record today.
Yeah, what time is it now?
It's almost 1 o'clock.
It's 12:46.
I'm going to have another drink and I'm going to go home. But, yeah, let's do this again soon. We should keep get this, yeah.
We should keep get this yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should try to make this a regular thing.
We've been trying. We fell off since like the last season, but we're gonna get this.
Yeah, we got a nice new studio.
It's a beautiful studio.
Yes, it is. You guys should follow us on YouTube
and Twitter. Subscribe, like, comment, subscribe.
Find us on YouTube.
What crazy shit's happened to you? You know, like let's talk about that. You know, feel free to join the conversation.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah,
put it in the comments. If not, put it on the Twitters.
Follow us at @nuclear_play.
Yeah.
Or you can follow us individually. I'm Sprout @IamSprout.
I can't remember mine.
He's Sailor_Jeremy. I think.
Yeah, I think that's what
it'll be in the description.
Yeah.
When we upload this shit. All right, y'all. Peace. Thanks for listening.
Yep.